Okay, welcome. I am Dr. Shannon Connor, and tonight we're going to talk about fibromyalgia. It's a condition that is kind of, I would say, thrown around quite a bit. A lot of people get diagnosed with something that, you know, I think when the doctors don't have any other solution or they don't know what it is, a lot of people get grouped into a category called fibromyalgia. So, I mean, if you're on the call, chances are you have fibromyalgia, or you're wondering if you have fibromyalgia. So clinically, what we're looking at as far as what fibromyalgia is, it's a musculoskeletal condition of the spine and the body and the muscles. And it's we've got joint pain, there's fatigue all over the body. A lot of times people are depressed. A lot of different symptoms, other symptoms associated with it. Usually there's some GI, some gut-type stuff going on, anxiety. A lot of times there's headaches, and then there's a problem with sleep. They can be hypersensitive. People can be hypersensitive to heat or cold, hard time thinking, which they call the fibro fog, trouble with the bowels or incontinence, and then a lot of times numbness and tingling in the fingers and stiffness. So you know, medically, the traditional route is to give you different medications for that, and they often prescribe Lyrica, Cymbalta, Flexeril, a lot of times antidepressants or Neurontin. So different things basically to manage the pain or handle depression. Because, you know, it's a vicious type cycle. But if you really look at, like, what does fibromyalgia mean? It just means achy, fibrous muscle soreness, basically. So it really doesn't mean much. So what I like to look at with patients is, okay, what is causing this condition? Why would someone have fibromyalgia? Or why are they at that point when they come into the office that they're suffering with this particular condition? And I take a three-pronged approach to fibromyalgia because I don't think fibromyalgia is a complex type of a thing, and it's not just one solution is going to fit all by any means. And typically there's a few things going on, and we're going to get into all three things of what's going on with a patient that has fibromyalgia. So the foundation of where I think a lot of this stuff begins is there's got to be something going on with the nervous system because obviously you've got, there's pain and it's widespread throughout the body, and anytime there's pain, typically the nervous system has been irritated and irritated for usually a long period of time. So usually there's some kind of link early on in life to some kind of trauma, whether it be a difficult birth. You know, something happens when you're a kid and you're learning how to walk. You fall 100 times a day, a lot of sports, maybe some, you know, falling off swing at the playground when you're real little. Something occurs, though, usually where there's some kind of physical trauma at a younger age. And then maybe as you get older, there's sports, there's different things that happen, auto accidents, whatever it is, but there's a compounding force that's occurring with the body. And what I've found, too, with a lot of fibromyalgia patients is that there's a lot of compression going on in their spine, whether there be some impact from above down or a fall where they hit their butt and the forces go up. But there's usually some kind of compression going on, and then there's usually a lot of torsion, torque going on throughout the whole spine. So the foundation, when that goes off, it sets off a whole cascade of reactions. And when I say that, what I mean is that, you know, as soon as the head goes off with the pelvis, that spine in between the head and the hips is all trying to compensate for that. And, you know, if you're driving your car out of alignment, the tires start wearing unevenly. Well, the same thing happens in the spine where you start to get compression of the nerves, compression of the discs, and things start to happen. And neurologically, you know, you're getting different compensations. And so where it affects one person, it can, you know, it can affect another person in another area. But over the long term, when there's severe stress on the nervous system, you know, the body starts to break down, and then, you know, all the different organs and all the different muscles have to work a lot harder in just in order to maintain. So we typically do not see children with fibromyalgia. We don't see teenagers with fibromyalgia. We're not typically seeing fibromyalgia typically until 30s, 40s, 50s, you know, where it's been a chronic condition for a long period of time. So that begins to happen. And then with the nervous system, there's two parts to the part of the nervous system we don't think about. There's the, you know, we don't have to think about breathing. We don't have to think about digesting our food. We don't have to think about elimination. Our body just does that for us. So within that autonomic part of our nervous system, there's two parts. And one part speeds everything up, which is called sympathetic, and one part slows everything down, which has to do with parasympathetic. And what we typically find with fibromyalgia patients is that they're locked into what we call sympathetic dominance, or that the body's constantly, you know, it's that fight-or-flight reaction where the body's there and it can't really get out of that. And so then that just compounds everything, and there's a lot of stress going on, and it never really shuts down. And the body's never, when you're always in sympathetic dominance, you go to sleep at night, you don't really get a full opportunity to heal. And you do the most healing when you sleep, so the body's not able to recover. And then you're running around in a stress condition. So we've got the structural integrity that's off. And then I'm going to get into that a little bit more. And then what we look at then is with a chronic stress like that, and a lot of times most fibromyalgia patients do have had a lot of emotional stress through their life. It's just been something I have found. And so that makes a wear and tear on the body. So between those things, and then what happens is now the body becomes deficient. And deficient in different things like trace minerals. So a lot of times when someone comes into the office, and we have to look at that, like where are they deficient? And when someone's been diagnosed with fibromyalgia because they've got this pain all over the body, we have to rule out certain things. And we have to rule out deficiencies, because if there's a deficiency created in the body, then there's going to be a reaction to those deficiencies. So the first thing we always do is we want to rule out vitamin B1 deficiency and mineral deficiencies. A lot of people with, quote, fibromyalgia have mineral deficiencies of magnesium or potassium or lithium in their body. And two, people who have fibromyalgia sometimes have just been severely dehydrated for a long period of time. Another thing that would mimic fibromyalgia or the symptoms of fibromyalgia are carbohydrate sensitivities. So people who have a diet of refined and processed foods typically are going to be weaker, and you know, you can have this global problem where the body's lacking, and when you have refined carbohydrates, the body's not recovering properly because you're not feeding it the things that it needs to repair. And then also people who have excessive alcohol and caffeine intake, a lot of times that's going to have a big effect on the whole system. And then also we have to rule out food allergies and sensitivities because, again, when someone has a lot of food allergies, it's going to be a systemic problem where the whole body's suffering as a result of that. So what we look at as far as deficiencies go, when we find that there are deficiencies, because typically with a fibromyalgia patient, they've been stressed for a long period of time and there are going to be deficiencies, have to look at feeding the body the right things, and then also doing some things that are very helpful to the body to reduce inflammation. Because that's something that we see with the fibromyalgia patient is that they have inflammation, systemic inflammation. So we have to look at that. And then the third thing that we look at is, the third thing that we look at is, are there infections? Are there subclinical infections going on that have been going on long term? Because a lot of times people will come in with fibromyalgia, and they actually may have a subclinical Lyme's condition going on or co-infections that are associated with Lyme's. Anytime the body has pain, there's typically infection in the area, because when you have a weak area, viruses, bacteria, parasites, whatever the thing may be, will go to the weak areas. And so you're looking at, okay, what do we need to do to get those subclinical infections down so that the body can actually recover? Because those things start taking over, and that drives the system down even further. So we always, those are the three approaches that we have in the office, where we look at the physical breakdown, we look at deficiencies, and then we look at infection in the body. So when we look at the physical breakdown, to me, it's always the beginning point. It's the entry point. You have to lay the foundation correct. You have to get the brain and the spinal cord communicating properly with every other system of the body. Because if you don't, you really don't know what you have. And most people are not functioning at 100%. And throughout life, when we have those accidents or injuries, it sets the body up into different positions. And then as we get older, gravity takes an effect, and we start getting these compressions that occur in the spine, and we start getting these different torquing and torsions and different things that happen, and then the nervous system can't function properly, and it can't recover properly. So it's always the foundation. It's always the starting point. You don't want to bring the roofers in if the foundation isn't laid. So once the foundation's laid, then we see, okay, now what's going on? Is the body deficient? Do we need to feed it things? Or are there things there, infections there, that need to be taken out? And if you look at the body very simply, there's only, once the foundation is there, there can only, and you can take any disease process, and look at it this way, it can be lumped into one of two categories. One, that the body needs something that it doesn't have and you need to feed it. Or two, the body has something in there that ought not to be and then you need to get it out. And how you get it out is through detoxification or different things that are very specific that help run out those infections. And once you do that, then actually the body starts to heal. I mean, it's always amazing to me, you know, the principles are always the same, but when you give the body what it needs, it's going to heal. We're designed to work perfectly. That's how we were created. And the only time we don't work correctly is when there has been, where it's, again, the body's missing something or it's needing to get something out of it. And the brain and the spinal cord cannot communicate with the rest of the system. So with a fibromyalgia patient, I mean, you know, there's something that's been there long term. And so a lot of people think, well, you know, I'm just not going to, you know, it's been there for a long time. It's going to take a long time to heal. And that's not the case. I just saw a patient today who has been in extreme pain, fibromyalgia, because I never like to lump someone into a category. But she, you know, she's been diagnosed with fibromyalgia and has been in severe pain for the last 15 years. And she said, you know, this is the first thing I've done that's helped me in the last 10 years where I feel different. And she traveled for the first time and was able, extensive traveling, and she didn't have all the discomfort. I mean, she's getting her life back, you know, and she's only been under care for 3 months. And just by, again, we got the structural integrity there. Once that was stable, then we looked at, okay, what's going on? What's going on internally? And we did, you know, a few simple things for her, and her recovery has been so much better, and her sleep is better. She's getting into that deep REM sleep where she can actually heal. And it's, you know, those things are so critical. And when those things start going off, you know, the tendency in our society is to start, you know, taking medication in order to fix the problem. But the medications often, you know, they always have side effects. And sometimes the side effects, you know, create even bigger problems in the body. So, you know, we're always very conservative with how we approach everything. And, you know, we look at how can we nourish and how can we feed the body and how can we do things to assist it along in a gentle, gentle way. Because when someone has fibromyalgia or, that you know, all the symptoms associated with it, you do not need to be hit over the head with a bat. And that's how you feel. and so, you know, less is more. And so, you know, the more overwhelmed someone is, the more gentle you have to be, because the system can't handle anymore. But when you start on a gradient, giving it the things it needs on a very gentle, in a very gentle way, it's going to heal and recover. So that's what I wanted to get into with you tonight. I'm going to open up the phones for questions. If you had any questions regarding fibromyalgia or things that are going on with you and how it's affecting you, I'm happy to answer questions. So I'm going to just take this off mute, and anybody who has any questions, please, you know, jump right in. So 1 second here. Okay, great. So we're unmuted. Does anyone have any questions regarding anything going on with them or how they're approaching fibromyalgia?
Where exactly are you located?
I'm in Newport Beach in California.
Oh, California.
Yeah, where are you at?
I'm in Huntsville, Alabama.
Oh, great. Okay. And how'd you hear about us?
My sister lives up in Idaho, and she travels to California a lot, and she has seen you, I believe.
Oh, is it Sally?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes. And for some reason, I was thinking you were up in the Seattle area, and I go there to visit my daughter. I was going to see if I could come see you the next time I'm out there, but
well,
I guess I'll have to figure it.
I can refer you to somebody, because there is a great doctor in Seattle that I can refer you to.
Okay. You don't know of any back here, do you?
I don't, but I can. We can look that up for you and find out if there is anybody.
Oh, that would be great.
Have you been diagnosed with fibromyalgia?
Yes.
Okay, and what kind of symptoms do you have going on?
Most of my problem is I can't sleep, mm-hmm. and when I go to bed, my legs just ache so bad I could cry.
Okay, and how long has it been going on for?
A few years now. I can't remember exactly when I was diagnosed, and it wasn't too bad in the beginning, but
right.
I've had so many other things happen in between that the stress, I think, is escalating it now.
Sure, and so you've had things happen in the past, correct?
Yes.
Like, and there's been physical type stuff probably from a young age.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can see how all that stuff starts to compound, right? And at a certain point, your body can't compensate anymore, and then you have pain.
Exactly.
And are you waking up, like how many times a night are you waking up?
Well, excuse me. I also have sleep apnea, so I use a CPAP machine.
Right.
And sometimes it will help me sleep through the night. Excuse me a moment. I'm sorry, it was a bad time for this to come.
That's okay.
But otherwise, I wake up 5-6 times a night.
Yeah. See, and then do you understand that you're never getting into healing mode?
I know.
Yeah. You know, and a lot
of times... because I'm exhausted all the time.
Right. And a lot of times, as far as that goes, the work that we do, the entry point into the spine is in the upper cervical area. And
mm-hmm.
that's where your brainstem sits. Your sleep
mm-hmm.
centers are located right there. So if there's a lot of compression with the head or there's a lot of deviation of that top bone in relationship to the neck and the head, what can happen is it puts pressure, it creates stress on those sleep centers of the brain. And so you're not going to, you know, you just can't get into deep sleep.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of patients report after they get their spine corrected that they have, you know, they're sleeping, or if they slept, they have much deeper sleep where they haven't had that in years, because the body's actually now able to be in a position to heal.
Right. Well, I've been in an auto accident, two of them actually.
Yep.
And I have had back surgery, lower back surgery for it, and now my upper back is hurting. So.
Yeah. And see, what happens, because you talked about the lower back, and then the body has to compensate for those things that are going on, and if it's not been brought to a neutral position, above
mm-hmm.
and below start to compensate. And so it's very common that people, you know, they have low back pain on the right, then they'll have it on the left, because the body will shift away from the pain. And then
mm-hmm.
you'll start to get the, you know, the hips compensate, and then the shoulders will start to compensate, and then you end up with shoulder pain or neck pain, you know, because it's trying to compensate for what's been going on from below.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, if you could find a doctor either back here or in Seattle, I'd love to go to them, and I don't want to take up any more of your time because I'm sure other people have questions.
Okay, yeah, we'll look into that. Can you email the office and then we'll...
I can, yes.
We'll get you...
I
that.
Will do that.
Okay.
And thank you very much.
My pleasure. Are there any other questions? No questions? Did you have any more questions?
Well, I can't believe that everybody else isn't asking questions.
Some people...
Do you know, is this covered by Medicare and insurance, or is this strictly pay out of your pocket treatment like this?
You know, Medicare covers a small portion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Medicare requires x-rays, but they don't cover x-rays. So,
oh, okay.
You know,
yeah.
It's not, there's not a lot of the treatment that's covered, but it does cover
mm-hmm.
a certain portion. So,
yeah. Well, it would be worth it if I could just get some help. So.
Yeah, no, it definitely. I mean, when you think about, I know, because a lot of times with a fibromyalgia patient, there's, you know, other infections going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently saw a documentary on Lyme's disease, and an average person, because a lot of times Lyme's is not, they can't find it. It's a hard diagnosis, or it's a misdiagnosis. A lot of those people spend almost $200,000 of their own money just trying to get an answer for what's going on with them.
That's
a lot of money to try
yes,
to get
it
a solution.
Is.
And a lot of times they don't even get a solution. They just get a diagnosis. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, those subclinical infections that, you know, that are occurring in a lot of people, they're, you know, they're very... I don't know, what would the word be? When it's subclinical, because medically, when they diagnose something, you're seeing it on a disease level. But if it's something that they're not able to see yet, and it has to sit there for a few years before it, you know, they can actually diagnose it, you've got, if you can get it before you hit that point, you've got so much better of a chance to recover from everything that's going on, and a recovery that's much quicker, you know, as far as when it's on a disease level, it's a lot harder to handle.
Well, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, I sure appreciate everything. I wish somebody else would ask some questions so I could get more information.
Okay. Well, if you do have any questions, you can email the office. The office is Dr. Shannon Connor, Connor, @att.net, or you can call the office. It's 949-642-5660, and we're happy to answer any questions you may have. So I appreciate everybody tuning in tonight and getting a little bit more information, and hopefully we've helped a few people. And the nice thing about, I think, any kind of problem is that there's more than one answer. And, you know, if you're not happy with the answers you're getting, you need to keep asking questions and you need to keep searching, because there are solutions out there. I mean, I firmly believe that, you know, everything out there has a solution to it. And, you know, we're here to help, and there's a lot of people out there that are doing really great stuff that are very effective at helping with all kinds of different things. So I would just encourage you to keep asking questions until you get the right solution for you. So,
well, I certainly do appreciate you.
Okay. All right. Well, good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Bye-bye.